Well, it's good to come back to our study of the work of the Holy Spirit and how he works in the heart and life of the Christian. I'd like us to open our Bibles and turn to the book of Philippians chapter 2 for our scripture reading this morning. And we looked at this passage last time, a couple of 3 weeks ago, and I want to come back to it today and try to expand a bit on it. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul is exhorting the Philippians while he was in jail to learn how to live with each other in unity. And he does that in many ways. In the first few verses of this chapter, he explains that they should have the same kind of love and the attitudes toward each other that Jesus Christ has had toward them, to be the kind of person he is. And then he explains to them what is their responsibility to become like him. So let's begin reading in Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. If therefore there is any encouragement in Christ, if any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, thinking the same way, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. So his concern is that they have harmony and unity and love for one another. That's a godly love, a love that blesses the other. So in verse 3, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. In other words, do not be self-absorbed, self-thinking. Go outside of yourself. Consider the needs of others. Consider their condition. Have this attitude in yourselves which was in Christ Jesus. Become like him in the way he thought, outside of himself for the good of others. And so he says in verse 5, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped or held on to, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant. And being made in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So he begins, be like him. And as we've studied before, the goal of God in sending Christ to this earth was to rescue us from our fallen, condemned, sinful nature and make us like God again. Make us like the Lord Jesus Christ in his being, in his thinking, in his feeling. To think like he thinks, to feel like he feels, and to live how he would live. To be conformed to the image of Christ. So then, verse 12, my beloved, work out, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. These two great truths are the foundation for understanding Christian holiness. God is at work in us to will and to work for His good pleasure. Therefore, we are to work out our salvation in fear and trembling. Let's pray together. We thank You, Father, for this day, this beautiful day, for sustaining us this past week. I know that many people here have been ill this last week, Billy, Kay, and Mitch, and many others. The Nager family that's not here today, many others who have struggled with whatever the afflictions of this season have come. But we thank You that we sit here this morning feeling better by Your providence and daily care to come and worship You as our great God and to learn Your word, what You would have us to understand and know to live by. So we pray that You would help us this morning as we try to understand this great mystery, that You are always at work in every Christian, and that You call every Christian to work. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, last time, as I said, we studied the work of the Holy Spirit, and we have seen how the Holy Spirit works in our hearts, opens our minds to understand, grants us the new birth by the Spirit to understand the Word of God and the truths of Christ. And He joins us to Jesus Christ's Spirit in the new birth so that now we have new desires to hate sin and love righteousness and therefore to repent of our sin. To now hate the world system of self-centeredness and selfishness and see the glory of living a life of love to God and man. And so we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ who's loved us and seek to love Him and others. And so this gospel that has come to our hearts by the work of the Holy Spirit has to be lived out. There has to be a change and from what we once were to what we now are and should become. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 5 and 6, Paul was trying to explain to the Galatians this, and he said, "For we through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness." And what he meant by that is, the Holy Spirit is the one who has worked faith in our hearts, and now we live by that faith, looking forward to the hope of righteousness and glory, that is to be glorified, the hope. For he says, in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love. And so this is the principle of sanctification that the Holy Spirit has begun in us. When we've come to see Christ and we've come to place faith in Him and His atonement for our sins and His resurrection for our eternal life, we love Him and we believe in Him, and so we work. Faith working by love. And that's how the fruit of the Spirit, which is Christ-likeness. If we were to study the fruit of the Spirit, which Miss Kay's been teaching the ladies for months and years, we would see that each fruit of the Spirit is a characteristic of Jesus Christ. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, if we've been born again to a living faith by the power of the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5:25, let us also walk by the Spirit. And that means we continue to exercise the faith that the Spirit has worked in our hearts, knowing the Spirit is always at work in us. So work out your salvation in fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in us to will and to work for His good pleasure. And this morning I want to more or less introduce this idea of what exactly is our responsibility as Christians. We know that God is the one who works in us. He's the one that brought us to faith and salvation to begin with. He is the one who changed us to see the love of God in the face of Christ, to see the cross as the place where God can justly forgive our sins and wash away our sins and remove them as far as the east is from the west. He's the one that enabled us to believe in His resurrection from the dead and therefore our resurrection from the dead one day. The Holy Spirit of God has worked in us to will and to work for God's good pleasure. But also now, having been renewed, having been changed by the work of the Holy Spirit, God calls us to respond responsibly, to take responsibility for our holy life, our growth in faith in Christ's likeness, to take responsibility to pursue the holiness, the Christ likeness, without which no one shall see the Lord, to pursue love, to pursue joy, to pursue peace, to pursue patience, to pursue kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, to pursue these Christ-like characteristics that turn a bad man to a good man, that emulate the innate character of Christ, who never sinned and always bore the characteristics of God. We were made in God's image to reflect His character. We have ruined it with our sin and selfishness. Jesus shed His blood to restore us to the character of God, to the image of God. And now, in this life, we have to work out our salvation in fear and trembling. We have to pursue that which God has already begun in us. So our responsibility, first of all, as Christians, is to pursue sanctification with all our heart. There's a mystery that I talked about last week in these two verses. And when you look back in history, you find that there are people trying to work out how exactly does it work to grow as a Christian and become like Christ. You know, is it 50% our work? Is it 50% God's work? Is it only God's work and we can't do anything about it? We've just got to wait and hope God makes us godly. We've just got to surrender ourselves and relax and let go and let God work in us if He's going to do it. 100% God, 0% man. On the other hand, there are others who look upon our pursuit as Christians as being 100% our responsibility and basically 0% God. That God's done all He can do and all He's going to do. He's given us every promise, every strength. He's given us His Spirit. He's given us eternal life. Now it's up to us to do something with it, to make something of ourselves, to make a great name in the kingdom of God. It's 100% our responsibility to do everything we can to do that. Yet our Lord said, I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life a ransom for many. How many unknown Christians in history have lived? We don't know their names. We don't know where they're buried. Many of them have their ashes scattered to the four winds. But God knows them, and they dwell with Him now in glory, as those who on earth cared not for themselves, but for God and others. And with 100% effort and responsibility, sought to build a life to love God with all their heart and to love their neighbor as themselves. So the Christian life is kind of a mystery, really. It doesn't make common sense. It doesn't make logical sense. On the one hand, all glory goes to God for anything you and I accomplish as a Christian, even a prayer. For it is God who's at work in us to will and to work for His good pleasure. On the other hand, God doesn't mince any words. It's 100% our responsibility to work out that salvation in fear and trembling. It's our responsibility to become Christ-like. It's our responsibility for our faith to work out by love. So this morning, I want to focus upon faith. The first responsibility we have as Christians to grow more Christ-like is to exercise our faith. That's why I chose us to read Saving Faith in our chapter on the confession, and why I read from Titus chapter 3 in our call to worship. That when God has changed us by His power and enabled us to see in Christ our Savior and Lord, and He's worked in us in such a way that we don't understand all that's happening in our hearts. We just know we got to get there. We've got to repent of our sin and turn to Christ and submit to Him. That's called the new birth and conversion, regeneration and conversion. And when God does that in us, He plants faith as a gift. He gives us a new ability to respond to God that we did not have before. He gives us a new understanding of God's will and plan in the Bible. Now we understand why Christ came, who He is, and why He died. Now we understand how to respond to God in submission and trust with a commitment to follow Him all our lives. Now we understand a whole lot of things we didn't before. And now we feel differently. Where we once loved certain sins, we now hate them. And we fight against the temptation to them. We overcome them to some degree, and we wish we could just be free of them forever, which God has promised to those who love Him. Something's changed. Jesus said of Himself, "I have loved righteousness and hated wickedness." And when our heart and soul is joined to Him, He changes us to a new love. So we understand differently, we feel differently, and therefore we choose differently. But the problem is that there is sin remaining in every Christian, which God has chosen by His perfect wisdom to remain. For His purposes, for His glory, to magnify His grace, so that even though we understand things differently, we do not understand perfectly. And we're still affected by sinful and selfish thinking sometimes, and the influence of others instead of God. Now we want to serve God with all our heart, and one of our greatest griefs is that we know we don't as we should. We feel differently, but we do not feel perfectly. Because sin still remains within us by God's design. And part of His glory is for us as Christians to constantly put sin to death in the name of Christ and bring glory to God for our salvation. We're to put on the full armor of God. Pick it up and put it on. The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and the shield of faith that we're to exercise all the time. So the first responsibility that we have with a heart changed by God is faith. Now, faith is not a quality that makes us right with God. It's the belief that God is able to make us right with Him. Faith is not a change that makes you feel strong in yourself. Faith is the understanding that we are weak and must depend upon God for strength. Faith is not an act of righteousness which makes you more right with God. It's a confession of weakness and a trust in God instead of oneself. And a willingness to submit to God's word over everything we have thought and felt before. We believe by faith that God is faithful. Now, the first place that faith manifests itself is in God's word, faith in God's word. Jesus, in John 17, prayed to his Father, "Father, sanctify them, set them apart as holy in the truth. Thy word is truth." Sometimes you may wonder, why do we put such emphasis on the Bible here, upon the word of God? Well, the lessons of history is that the churches that have tried to look to the Bible plus their own thoughts have failed to bring men to God. And the whole history of the Reformation is a rediscovery of Scripture alone as God's Word. Not Scripture plus the church, or Scripture plus a philosopher, or Scripture plus a man's thoughts, but Scripture alone is God's inspired word. And the faith that saves us is the faith that believes what God has said in his word. It doesn't make up things as it goes along. It doesn't sit around waiting for new words from God. It believes what God has said. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For he that believes in God must believe that he is, and he's the rewarder of those who seek him. Faith believes whatever God has said. And so we come to Christ, and that same faith that saves us is the faith by which we continue to live. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So faith takes hold of the means God has given, the first of which is the word of God. It tries to read the word, not to fulfill some requirement for a daily devotion, but because it understands that God uses his truth to change your mind. You can say, "Well, I don't feel like reading my Bible today. Something's wrong with me. I'm not thinking straight. I don't feel like it." So you're not thinking right, right? How does God change your thinking? Through the word, read and explained. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So faith takes responsibility to use the means God has given to grow in faith. God has planted the seed of the word in our hearts, says Peter in 1 Peter 1. And he calls upon us to water that seed and to fertilize that seed. We are like newborn babes. We're perfect as a baby, but we're still just a baby. And we need the milk of the word to grow thereby. And so we exercise the faith that has come to our hearts that Jesus Christ really is the Son of God. He really lived on this earth. He really died a bloody death thinking of me upon the cross. And he really rose from the dead thinking of me by his side. I believe in the love that God has for me. And that faith that saves us continues to work in our hearts to love God and keep his commandments, to grow Let me read you what Louis Burkhoff said about faith in relation to sanctification or Christ-likeness or holiness. Faith is the immediate or instrumental cause of sanctification as well as of justification. Now, don't raise a red flag till I finish reading this, okay? Faith is the immediate or instrumental cause of sanctification as well as justification. It does not merit sanctification any more than it does justification. But faith unites us to Christ and keeps us in touch with Him as the head of the new humanity, who is the source of the new life within us, and also of our progressive sanctification through the operation of the Holy Spirit. The consciousness of the fact that sanctification is based on justification and is impossible on any other basis, and that the constant exercise of faith is necessary in order to advance in the way of holiness, will guard us against all self-righteousness in our striving to advance in godliness and holiness of life. It deserves particular attention that even while the weakest faith mediates a perfect justification, the degree of sanctification is commensurate with the strength of the Christian's faith and the perseverance with which he apprehends Christ. See, faith is the exercise of believing in Christ, of living each day believing that you are justified by faith alone, that your sins are covered by his blood and righteousness, that you are accepted as if you are righteous in God's eyes, covered with his righteousness by faith alone, that God has adopted you as his child forever and will never push you out the door again, that the Holy Spirit has been joined to your heart whether you feel him or not, and that's why you even think of Christ, and it's why you hate sin, and it's why you wish you could become what you should be. And so that faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ in justification continues each day. I believe, therefore I live. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is just an example of living by faith, what it means. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul has already stated how we cannot understand the gospel till God saves us by his Spirit. A new creation in the soul. And then in verse 7 he says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Now, this is his life. How do you carry on such a life? Struck down, persecuted, afflicted, perplexed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. Do you understand what he's saying here? He placed faith in Christ, and Christ saved him. Now his life is a pretty big mess. He He's persecuted whenever he speaks of Christ. People throw stones at him. They spit upon him. He carries about in himself the dying of Jesus. As Christ was treated by Pontius Pilate and the high priest, as he had to carry his own cross till he fell under its weight, as he was nailed to the tree, to the jeers and the slanders of men at his feet, so Paul carried about by faith the dying of Jesus in himself. He was persecuted for his faith. But he seems to say that's okay. Because if he is persecuted and harmed in some way because he's been a witness of Christ to others for their good, then God gives life to them through your death. And that's okay. To use up your life to bring others to know God. To use up your life that others may know love from God and man. To die that others may live. So death works in us, but life in you. How did he keep going? How did he keep doing it? But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore also we speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. That's what it means to live by faith. The Savior that you came to when you needed salvation is the Savior that you live with each step of the way. The belief in him that enabled you to call upon him for salvation and believe that he answered is the same faith that we live by every single day. Every day we believe that we are justified by faith alone in Christ alone once for all. Every day we believe that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, is united to us and with us no matter how we feel. Every day we believe that Christ is risen from the dead and ascended on high, causing all things to work together for good to those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. Every day we believe that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Every day, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, with Jesus Christ the righteous. Every day we believe he is preparing a place for us, that we will ever dwell together with him in glory and joy and love beyond our imaginations on earth. I told some of you last week, it was such a sweet fellowship last weekend. Let's just step over the threshold. Let's just go on to glory. It can't get any better to me than that. Yet God has kept us here to live by faith, not by sight. We will see him, but not now. Now we see him by faith. We see him exalted with glorified body with holes still in his hand, still interceding with his Father. Father, this is my sheep. Feed them, care for them, prepare and cleanse the way for them. Active in heaven as he was on earth to bring us to heaven. It is in belief and faith every day in the promises of Christ that faith works by love, that we change from one image to the next. It is by looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, considering him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, that we do not lose heart. in our striving against sin, and to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. You see, faith is not just sitting still and believing you're going to heaven. Faith believes that Christ is active on our behalf and calling us to obey him every day. That he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That he will not forsake us so that we will not forsake him. And it is in believing that he is all he said he was, and God will do all that he said he will do, that as we believe by faith those things, we find our hearts and our minds strengthened to work out what we should. Let me read to you what Jeff Thomas said about this. And you remember, those of you remember, for our 175th anniversary, we had Jeff Thomas in to preach. And Jeff is one of the great preachers of Christ in the world. And he understands what I'm saying this morning. And out of his book on the Holy Spirit, he said, talking about this new ability of faith that God has given the Christian, we believe, we really believe it's true. Now we continue to believe every day. Every true Christian is now able to defy sin and do what is righteous. But that does not make him sinless. On this side of heaven, the virus of sin and its misdeeds will ever trouble us. They will make their presence known even on our deathbeds. What are we to do with the remaining sin that does not control us, but yet is still within us? We must keep looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the source of our victory over sin, and constantly trust in him. Paul tells us we must constantly put to death the misdeeds of the body, that is, to mortify the sin that remains within us. We're to weaken, starve, and murder anything evil that rises up within us and urges us to defy God and his law. We're to continue this work with the energy and under the direction of the Spirit of God. Regeneration is vain without the work of the Spirit. So is sanctification. We will never grow in Christ's likeness without the Spirit. We are impotent to put to death the misdeeds of the body without the Holy Spirit. All other ways of killing sin are vain. It can only be done by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings the Christian into communion with the crucified Christ. The Spirit brings the cross of Christ into the heart of the sinner by faith and gives him fellowship with Christ by faith in his sufferings and death. So the believer fights sin with the blood of Christ and by virtue of Christ's cross. Galatians 6:14 says, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world." The Holy Spirit helps us fight sin with the mighty weapon of the cross. So a living faith in the Word of Christ, who saved us and continues to save us, is the working principle of progressive sanctification and Christ-likeness, just as it was the principle of initial sanctification at our conversion. As we attend the Word of God with a believing heart, as we pray for the Spirit's help to understand it and to teach us more of Christ, using the means by faith, God blesses his truth to conform us more and more into the image of Christ. This is why the Christian is helped even by the preaching of the gospel of Christ to the unsaved sinner, evangelistic preaching. Our sanctifying faith must be Christ-centered to go beyond superficial obedience to law and to bear the reflective Christ-like fruit of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. This is what it means to be a Spirit-filled Christian, to bear the fruit of the Spirit as a Christian. So as we exert 100% effort in faith, believing the truth, believing the promises that God has given to every Christian. You remember what Paul said? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. It is as you believe that all the blessings of God are upon your head, as he does with every Christian, that you find your mind thinking differently, your feelings feeling differently, and your choices changing. As you look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, as you remember him and believe him, as you wonder at what manner of love and humility and kindness would rest in the heart of an eternal God to so humble himself at the hands of godless men for your soul, for your good, for your happiness, you find your heart changing to understand that he shed his blood to make you good, to make you like him, and that the only motive and power in the entire world that can make you think that way and feel that way and change more into his image is faith in him. Work out your salvation in fear and trembling, that childlike fear of a father who is so great and loving that you do not wish to shame. Work out your salvation in fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And just to know that, he is and he will, helps our minds to think straight about what we should do. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Let's pray again. Father, I pray for anyone here who has feared that if they came to Christ, they would not be able to live for Christ, that you would help them to believe in the true Christ who is able to help them to live, that they would simply humble themselves where they are, fall before a holy God, and believe in the sufficiency of Christ's bloody death on the cross to atone for all of their sins, and to believe in his resurrection from the dead for all the power he has to change their hearts. Help them to fall before Christ and be saved by grace through faith. And for all of us as Christians, knowing your Ten Commandments, knowing your many commandments in the Scripture of how you want us to live, to love, to forgive, to serve, we ask that you would help us to begin every day and every moment of the day with faith. The faith that you have given us, the ability to look unto Jesus and believe. That we would look into the Scriptures and see your many and precious promises. That you've accepted us, adopted us, will not leave us or forsake us. That you have joined us by the Holy Spirit to Jesus Christ in union with him, that his death became our death, that his resurrection became our resurrection, and even now his ascension has become ours as he prepares a place for us. Help us to live by faith, faith in the truth. No matter how we feel, no matter how we understand or do not, that the one who loved us and gave himself up for us does understand, is working within us, and shall bring us safely to glory. Help us all to come to this Christ as our Savior and Lord, and therefore to walk by faith and not by sight. Help us to become more and more like him as we look in the scriptures and see what he is like. We pray in Jesus' name.